going on, you know, and then I was 2 weeks ago just kind of meditating on like what I will be speaking on. These words really came, this passage really came to me about worry. How many of you don't worry about anything right now? No fake people here? Yeah, some of you are, yeah, there's two people are worried, you know, there's some kind of worry we always will have, you know, which is what makes us human, right? Tell your neighbor, we are human. Yeah, so God knows that we are human, and there are stuff that we will go through in life, especially now, because what is happening is just not in China, Hong Kong. It's kind of like spreading everywhere, you know. In that sense, it's kind of like really makes us to think a lot right now, you know. And that there's other statistics are coming out of Hong Kong, which I don't really want to give you because I think it will create more fear so that you can listen to the message, you know. But the thing is that we are not defined by all these things that's around us. It's important. We take concern about it, but they don't define our life. And I want to speak to you this morning about why we should not worry and why God has got us, all right? Just an illustration. There was recently a licensed pilot who was flying his private plane in a cloudy day. And he was not very experienced in instrumental landing. That means, you know, really to land himself because the weather is so bad now. So when the control tower was to bring him in, he began to get panic because somebody is taking in charge and telling him, you need to get to land. While he's still panicking, there was a stern voice came to him from the radio. He said, you just obey the instruction. We will take care of the obstruction. Are you hearing me? He said, you just listen to the instruction. We will take care of the obstruction. Because they are from the control tower. They could see clearly what's really happening. And what I'm trying to tell you today is that you don't have to worry because God has got your back. Amen? So the person in our control tower is no other than who? Jesus himself. The Creator. He has given us some instruction for us to follow. Especially when you are worried, because He knows exactly what does He mean. And He has given us some thoughts about it and how we can deal with this thing. Maybe this message is just not for you personally, but you can help someone else. There are people out there who are really worried to the core. I mean, just turn on the news, you know, when the tissue paper coming in, tissue rolls, you know, all is leaving the supermarket. I told them in Malaysia, for Malays and the Indians, we have no problem because God has given us left hand. Only some people will understand what does that mean. But I say, there are a lot of things that around us which can really make us worry today with what is happening. But let's read the scripture together. From the book of Matthew, I'm going to speak from chapter 6. We're going to read verse 25 till verse 34. Let's count of three. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life is more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant, don't harvest, or store food in the barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wild flowers that they are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So read together with me. Hello. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What we will wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is your words, O God. As part of the Sermon of the Mount, as you were speaking to the crowd, you decided to even speak on worries, because this is our human reaction whenever we are going through difficult times or we are worried about something not even happening. And you have taught us, God, today that how we can able to manage and to live beyond these worries. So we thank you. We ask Holy Spirit to come and speak through me, Lord. Use my words. And Lord, that today the hearts who need to listen, and even Lord, I want to pray for those who are listening from the Facebook Live. Lord, I pray for your peace right now to rest even while they are listening, over their mind, over their hearts. And I bless them. And God, those who are here today, Lord, open our hearts as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We all have to admit that worry is a common temptation in life. And I would say, actually, because talking to different people, for some of them, it's a favorite pastime. You might say, Pastor, it's easier for you to say because you are not in my shoes. You don't know what I'm going through. And I'll tell you, yes, you are exactly right. I'm not in your shoe because I have my own shoes to walk inside. And you don't even know what I am going through and the shoes that I'm wearing. Is that right? And that's fair, right? Because every time we go through something, there's always a tendency we think that our problem is bigger than everybody else's problem. Just because the person didn't share or the way they live, we think that everybody around us are okay except me. Because that's what worry does. What it does is that it makes you to focus on yourself rather than God. You know, I just had all the worry. I mean, I think about that. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I was in Thailand. And amazing, I mean, like, I was there and then hearing all this news coming out of China and Wuhan especially. And then here we go at a couple of days before, we are just outside, like 4 hours away from Bangkok, right at the beach. And suddenly, you know, you have like 3 or 4 buses, tourists from mainland China. How do you feel? you know, but this is just a phobia people are having. You know, I have to just tell myself, you know, it's okay. They are not everybody carrying a disease out there, you know. I mean, we are scared to the core that even somebody sneezes, we get scared. Do you know God created sneezing? Because if things are stuck into your nose, you need to sneeze out stuff to get your dirt out of your nose. Hello, that's normal. You need to... Nowadays, you do... wow, everybody's like, wow, what happened to you? Jesus' name, hallelujah. You know, all cross coming out, you know, Bible, you know, hitting... No, God give you this to clear your throat. Come on. It's okay. That's what makes you human. I mean, you will know how to differentiate when someone really is sick and just someone just clearing a nose or sneezing. That you need to know. Just God give us this human wisdom. I mean, I was just thinking. I mean, most of the people who are there, this was a gathering of all the missionaries who are working in this particular country, but they were not allowed to go back. But I know that I was praying and then I'm thinking about my 2 children and then like, should I go back? And I was talking to my siblings back in Malaysia and they said, hey, maybe my sister said, why not you come back? Since your children got a long holiday, they're going to be so bored. And I thought about it, you know, because for those who have known me, I have lost 2 of my loved ones through infection. They got infection and then they died in Hong Kong. My mom and my late wife, both of them died because of infection. So I know what infection can do to us. So now I'm thinking about my children. I'm like, I'm going through, should I go back, bring them back to Malaysia, away from this place, this region? And it's important that sometimes you need to check with your family. So I asked Caleb, so Caleb, what do you think? He said, no, we go back to Hong Kong. I said, okay. Although deep down inside me, I knew I need to be back to Hong Kong. Because I have a mandate. God has called us to Hong Kong. And because He called me, He is faithful. Amen? The same thing, if God has called you here, He is faithful. It is His responsibility that He will know what to do. I know, later I will talk to you about the difference between worrying and concern. It's two totally different things. So don't get me wrong. Some have thought like, oh, Pastor, you're always talking about faith. Do you understand about human life? Like I say, until you walk in my shoes, you won't understand what I'm going through. So we prayed about that, and my son is like, Wi-Fi or flu? He said, Wi-Fi. I'd rather be in Hong Kong having my Wi-Fi, my computer, than going. He said, Malaysia got a lot of mosquito, pa. And then there's no aircon in your sister's house. You know, these teenagers, huh? Sometimes they are more desperate than Wi-Fi than anything else in their world, you know. So right now, if I'm doing discipline, it's easier. I'm going to turn off the Wi-Fi if you're not going to listen to me. So easy. No need to scream. Just turn off the Wi-Fi. Everything works at home. So, and I know this is a God-given a break for me and my family. I would just imagine if I have flown, because I took Philippine Airlines. Man, I tell you, that was a really nice airline. It's the first time for me to take Philippine Airlines. It was really nice. It was top-notch. But if it's just after 2 weeks, if I've taken the same flight because I transit through Manila, I probably can't even leave Hong Kong because they just stopped last Saturday that you cannot fly through Philippines any longer. So God knew exactly and when I need to be where I need to be. Amen? And He just brought me back on time. From the passage we just read just now, Jesus, our Creator, the one who made you, who knew you from your mother's womb, illustrated the worthlessness of worry by showing that it is unnecessary and it is unfruitful. Are you hearing me? I'm not saying this. Jesus is saying this. And even He went ahead to even tell us that if you're behaving the way you're behaving, that you're over worried about everything, you are becoming unchristian. I mean, like, you are unbecoming to a Christian. He said, you are acting like a non-believer. So He said, why would you worry about these things? What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear? He said, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. And He said clearly here, your Heavenly Father already knows some of your needs. Are you hearing me? That's what He said? Hello, why you say amen? He said, your Heavenly Father already knows some of your needs. What does He say? All. I checked the Greek. It says all. Say all. He knows all your needs. There's nothing that He don't know. And that's the reason I'm standing here today to tell you this. He knows all your needs. And let me ask you this question. What worries do you struggle to overcome or even to keep it under control? Apart from food, clothing, wet tissues, mask, rice, toilet paper. God has given us tree and leaves. You can still do your job and take care of something. They are more probably organic than your tissue rolls. But what are the worries really that you are really struggling? What is that something deep inside you that beyond all this stuff that you are really worried about? You know, in verse 25, in chapter 6, the word for worry in Greek is merim nao. Say merim nao. He said, do not merim nao. And the word suggests that it is a distraction, a preoccupation with things causing anxiety, stress, and pressure. So if you are in the habits of worrying, I'm adapted this from Dr. Linda Mintel from her book, Letting Go of Your Worry. He said the first thing is that recognize how little worry can help you. He said that worry doesn't have the power to prevent anything bad happening in your life. And he says also, bad things that you worry about may never end up happening. And many good things can happen instead. So worry is completely useless. The next thing he said, recognize how much worry can harm you. If you really want to destroy your life, keep worrying. Worrying doesn't benefit you in any way, but it does harm you in many ways. Worry harms your health physically, such as distributing to your high blood pressure, causing insomnia, and suppressing your immune system mentally by sending streams of negative thoughts into your mind, and spiritually by encouraging fear rather than faith in God. Worry also wastes valuable time and energy that you could be using for better activities. I don't know, after hearing this, you still want to worry about many things. I mean, there's one incident I'm just began to think about is Mary and Martha, right? When Jesus went to visit, someone was sitting on the feet of Jesus. Who was that? Mary, right? And somebody else was working to prepare. Martha. I mean, Jesus didn't say like right or wrong about Mary or Martha. But he said, Mary have chosen something better, right? And he said, Martha, why are you worried about many different things? You are filled with so many things. They're like, it's okay, I am Jesus, I'm here. The best thing is that to come and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. I'm not saying that, oh, stop working today, my pastor told me I shouldn't work, and then you tell your boss, I'm just going to relax. I'm going to listen to Jesus. It's not what I'm saying, not to go to work. But Jesus is saying that you can't be taking all the responsibilities by just worrying and not thinking about yourself. Because why? Whatever you do, your worry, whatever your brain does, it will cause your body, your brain to react. And these are the negative consequences. The next thing is that you need to distinguish between worry and concern. While it's healthy to be concerned about something, it is unhealthy to worry about it. Hello, are you hearing me? It's two different things, right? Because concern motivates you to do something to solve the problem and plan helpful ways to cope with them. But worry keeps you stuck on the problem and distract you from planning any helpful ways to deal with them. Identify what triggers worry in your life. You see why? Whatever you're worrying right now, it just doesn't happen because you're just watching the news and say that, oh, all the rice is finishing, all the tissue rolls are, and then everybody is getting sick, like everybody is a diseased person around me. I mean, I'm hearing news about even helpers are not allowed to leave their home because they're scared that you will come back with a disease. But it's funny, the same person have to go out. They are in the public place and they are meeting people. And when they are sneezing, they are coughing, it's okay. But when the helpers are sneezing, you say, you go out, you bring disease. God is teaching something to some people who have problem with colors. God is showing them something because disease don't have eyes. They will come to anybody just because you have $1 million in your, or nowadays million is so small, $10 million in your bank doesn't make you say, oh, disease, oh, you got $10 million and you are a CEO of a company. Okay, I will choose somebody else. You are just a housewife. Man, let me attack you. No, it doesn't care who you are. You you can begin to worry whenever you encounter with a situation that feels you, make you out of control. You feel vulnerable or powerless and let your imagination to run away with negative thoughts about what may happen in the future. You see, it's about future. Or you're experiencing a loss that is traumatic, difficult, or unexpected. Once you understand what triggers your worries in life, you can begin to guard against worry in those situations. Amen? I mean, I understand many of who you lived through SARS in Hong Kong. I mean, at that time, I was in mainland China. I know what was happening because people everywhere were scared. But the fact that you are still here, you went through that, but you are still here, aren't you? Touch yourself. You say, you're still here, right? Most of your family members are still here. We know many people have died. But you are still here. So don't go overly beyond that what we can control. There are certain things we just cannot control. I mean, we are taking measures. I mean, like, just clean your hands, you know. Like, I mean, we can say, if you're a pastor, you're talking about it, why you're doing all these things. No, I say, there's something you do what is common sense, right? God has given that. But there are certain things you cannot do beyond our human capability. You really have to trust someone who's above you. Amen? And finally, make crucial choice. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop bad things to happen from happening. Why? Because you are in a fallen world. Hello? And that's what it makes different. Because when sin came into the world, God already had a time limit for this earth. No matter how they're going to serve the earth and from the icebergs to, you know, to die, you know, whatever is going to happen, that's all not going to last. Someday, Jesus said, I'm going to come back. And I felt it's more closer than any time else before. And that's what should concern you. Rather than things that you cannot help. Why sickness are here? Because this is a fallen world. I was talking to someone the other day. I mean, we're talking about prayer and all that. You know, we people get healed. I say, do you know even Lazarus was raised from dead by Jesus? He still died. Hello, are you hearing me? Because he came and told them, I am the resurrection. He controls the dead. I mean, he came back. But the thing is that the appointed time has not come yet that we all one day, when Jesus comes back again, for those who die, they will rise up again with him. Amen? Those who die believing in Jesus, not believing Jesus plus somebody else. Are you hearing me? If you have believed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be bound by fear. And that's the hope we have, because we are hoping for that new kingdom of heaven that's going to come. A new heaven and earth. Amen? It's going to come. It's going to be there. And that's why it's so crucial for you and I to be the hope to the people out there who don't have hope. I was chatting with a friend from Wuhan. She got locked out in her home. But she's not afraid, but because she's a believer. She used to be a student here before at a Hong Kong Education University. And now she went back. She's working in Wuhan. And he says, something amazing has happened. My family, my parents who are not Christian right now, they are praying together with me before every meal. Wow, can you imagine that? I mean, you think, oh, what's so big deal, praying before meal? I mean, for a non-Christian, why would they think about that? Oh, I want to give thanks to this God. No, they don't think about it, they just eat. Right? But here, right now, they say, thank you, Jesus, for giving us food. Thank you for your protection. So it's so important to pray, right? We are not praying because, I mean, like, but it's something that you are grateful to. But because people saw you doing that right now, her parents are doing it together. So don't be afraid, be shameful when you are in the public place to pray. If they ask you, you say, it is better I pray than asking God. I mean, like, is that a guarantee? I don't know, but I'm praying to my Father in heaven and He takes care of the rest of it. So, how would you give your worries to God? Are you here with me? Hello? I'm not scolding you. And I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm trying to beat you because you are worried. No, I'm just trying to help you, to tell you to prove the case, because I'm standing with Jesus. I don't know about you. I'm standing with Jesus to agree that worry damaged our life. And Jesus himself telling that it's not going to be helpful. Do you know somebody countered that the word worry, do not be afraid, do not be fearful, there are about 366 times mentioned in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? 366 times. Every day plus the leap year, 366, God have even counted that. And God reminding you every day, don't worry, don't be afraid, don't be fearful. Doesn't matter whatever precondition you have, he is still under control. Amen? He is still in control. So the first thing first, you have to get to know your God as your Father. In Matthew 6:23, he said, this thing dominate the thoughts of unbeliever, but your heavenly Father, he said, your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Already knows. Do you think he don't know there's not enough rice, not enough tissue roll? The thing is that it's not so not enough. It's enough, but somebody is stocking up in their home. They think they're going to die. They probably will have stock like for the next 5 years. Sorry to say, there's some greedy people out there you need to face in your life. But the thing is that our Heavenly Father knows your needs. I even been told some of the helpers not be even given their own mask. The master who's supposed to protect them, asking them to go to market, but he said, you go and buy your own mask. We are not going to give you our mask. What kind of cruel people is this? Shameful of them. If you're listening to my online live, you should be worried. Because they are given under your care, and this is what you do. That is just, I know, maybe you bought like $50, your gold mask. Hello? I mean, I bought for 50 baht. That was very expensive, you know, in Thai already. Don't be so cruel. Because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So don't worry about that, because there's somebody above you, our Heavenly Father, who's going to take care of that. Amen? And if you don't have a relationship with God and to know Him as a Father, I mean, like, most of you probably are believers. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You probably know God. But there's two different things here. You're talking about God, just knowing Him as a God and knowing Him as a Father. There's two different things. Are you hearing me? At the beginning of this chapter, chapter 6, in Matthew, the disciple asked, Lord, teach me, I mean, probably not mentioned here, but he said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And how does Jesus taught them to pray? Dear Heavenly CEO. No. Dear the God of Judge and whatever. No, he say what? When you pray, Dear Heavenly Father. Why? Because Jesus said, I have come here to show you who is the Father. Because all this why in Judaism, they just know Him as God and He's the Judge. All that is a good thing. But if something is missing is that they forgot that He is their Father. I mean, in some religion, they are still refuting and fighting about those terms. But the thing is that the fact that we have a Father who is our God. I know we say God, our Father, but actually you have a Father who is our God. That's two different things. Are you hearing me? I don't know if you're getting confused with that. It's two different terms. You already have a Father always. But the fact is that sometimes we begin to realize that we see the Heavenly Father through our earthly father's lens. Because you're probably your earthly father. Some of you maybe had a really good father. Praise God for that. And some of your fathers probably have done the same thing. Never give you a mask. You're going to buy your own mask. That's today's context I'm just talking about. But maybe he was a good provider. But he will never say that he loves you. He cares for you. Don't worry. But all the fact is that sometimes what are the stuff they have done? You felt the negligence. You felt that you've been abandoned as a child. And that creeps into your life up to now that you feel like, I need to do it on my own because nobody will take care of me. But sometimes when you look back, I told you, where is your source coming from? You might even realize that it started when you were very young. You feel that somebody have neglected you. And that's why you are trying so hard now to do it everything on your own. You go to beyond that to say that, God, you don't even able to take care of me. I mean, how many of you see my daughter, Natalie? She's behind there. She didn't wake up every morning and think like, oh, will I have food on my table? I'm so worried. Like, what's going to happen to me? Will I have enough bread? Will I get enough? You know, do we think Natalie does that? No, she's a happy girl. I mean, like, I don't know, I assume like most children. She wake up happy. You know, she just come out. She saw that there's a food on her table, you know. And the next thing she knows she have a toy. She have her own kitchen that she will cook sometime for me, fake food. But, you know, she don't care about anything. I mean, don't talk about Natalie. Talk about Caleb. Where's Caleb? He disappeared right now. But he's going to be 16 years old. It's the same thing. He doesn't really bother so much. He wakes up, food comes to his table. He don't even go to the dining table. Michelle just spoiled him. Michelle is our dear nanny. She bring food to his table. I keep telling him, hey, hello, this is your study table. Go to your dining table to eat, okay? No, I need to do my work. Like, yeah. But the thing is that, because they know they got a father who will take care of those things. Are you hearing me? I'm not bragging about myself because that is my responsibility as a father that makes sure there is food on the table. But the thing is that I can think that, oh, then I need to be worried. No, I need to do the same thing to know that there is a Heavenly Father who does the same thing. Amen? Why would I treat differently my child and then he will treat me differently? I mean, I'm not talking about getting away from your responsibilities. I'm talking about there's something beyond your own control that you just need to know your Heavenly Father will take care the way that I will take care of my child. He will do it even better than me. Amen? You can provide everything for your child. You're back in the... You know by now, for those who are sending back money, that they have treated you as an ATM card, how much appreciation you get. There will be always not enough. Hello? And all this while, sometimes you are toiling all these things to send out, and then one day they'll come and say, oh, you are not always there for me. While you are doing all these things for them, right? I can hear a few noddings. But there's somebody above you who is a father who cares so much for you. Amen? And that's why there's a difference, is that you really need to know him as your father. Because he's a father who loves you unconditionally, not just because you read two passages every day and then you pray and then you fast, then he say, oh, okay, I'll give you more love today. No, he's the same father that how would you unfavorably see your children, he will do the same thing. You got to get to know your God as your father. Our father value you dearly. And it's much easier when you want to serve God to know that how much he loves you. Amen? And the question he asks you, are you not much more important than they? Who are they? Who are the different... he was giving a contrast, right? Comparison. Who are they? The birds, right? And then the lilies in the field. He was saying that, are you not... He was asking a rhetorical question. But there is a clear answer for all these things, is that he will. Amen? He's asking a question, but at the same time, he just assumed that you will understand. But sometimes not just assuming, but you will really believe. That's why it's called faith. You need to believe that he will take care of you. No matter who look down on you, disregard you, as not so important, God values you because you have been purchased by the blood of Jesus, his son Jesus Christ. Amen? God is never blind to your tears, never deaf to your prayers, and never silent to your pain. He sees, he hears, he will deliver you. Amen? Can I hear a louder amen? Amen? Because something that you just need to believe. He is your provider. God will send what you needed. Second thing is that you have to put God first in every area of your life. Or I would say that you have to put God as a central in every area of your life. Because sometimes we think that, oh, I put God first, second, third. No. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, God has to be the central element, the central figure, not element, the central figure of what you're doing. Even you're going to go to a movie, say, God, give me a right seat. It's okay. Maybe Jesus is following. I don't know what you're going to watch, but I believe that he's not distracted by whatever you're going to, the bomb blast and all that. No, that doesn't matter. You know? He will go with you. Say, don't worry about these things. What you drink, what you eat. But in verse 33, he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Again, all else. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Although it looks like there is a prerequisite here, but this is for the children of God. He said that, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Probably in the coming days, I will preach on that. What does he mean by saying, seek the kingdom of God? But there's something that he said that you will know that he puts in your life, that something is distracting you. What God is telling you to do. Seek his kingdom first. And then he said, live righteously. If you are not doing all these things, you have all the reason to be worried. Are you hearing me? But when you are doing all these things, he said, I will give you everything you need. Although as a father, he will still provide for you. But they say that you will limit, you will delay the blessing that you will receive. Because you are not listening to the somebody speaking from that tower. He said, daughter, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go that way. Or son, you shouldn't take that job. Or you shouldn't see that woman. Whatever it is, I mean, like, you will know, God will speak to you. It's between you and God. Anytime you take God out of the central of your life and put anything else there, no matter how good it is, you're going to go to worry. Right? When you take him out, what will happen? Worry will fill in that place. Because these are the real challenges God wants us to pursue, and worrying keeps us from them. Choose your battle wisely. Right? I mean, there are people who just want to give you a hard time. Sometimes you just need to know that, you know, do you really want to go into this, trying to prove yourself and trying to, you know, I always will, here and then, I will receive different remarks and different, I will feel like something bubbling inside me to defend myself. Sometimes I'll just have to choose. I say, like, is that really worthwhile for me to go to their level? And certain things I just brush off. Because I feel like it's wasting my time. Because I got a father who knows what to do. And when I'm free of that, I feel like the person have no power over me, over my mind. So it's important for you to choose wisely. If we don't actively choose to give him the first place, God can be bumped from our priorities. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. It is difficult to tell the difference sometimes, right? But careful planning is thinking ahead about goals, steps, schedules, and trusting in God's guidance. While after you have done that, still, trust in God's guidance. In contrast, worriers are consumed by fear and find it difficult to trust God. That's the difference between worry and concern. When you're worrying, you're saying that, God, you are not able to take care of this. This is beyond even your control. See, who's talking to God? The creation talking to the creator. He said that, I cannot trust you because I need to do it myself. That's why worry keep coming back, because there are certain parts in your life, in your heart, they're so deep inside that you don't even want to let God to go and visit you there. Say, God, I cannot let you there because it's too painful. And he's saying that's why I want to go there, because I want to set you free. Amen? Unless you give in, I cannot help you. And whatever is bubbling on the surface, it will keep coming back to you. And you will still keep falling into the same trap, what the enemy, because enemy knows exactly what you've been dealing with. But when you expose the enemy, what he's trying to do, you are set free. You are free indeed. Amen? So warriors sometimes let their plans interfere with the relationship with God. We go beyond, sometimes I feel like, some of the guys say, oh, Pastor, pray for me because right now on my business, that a project I'm doing, everything is canceled. I say, yeah, because when you had a chance to be with the God's people to come and pray and worship, you say, I'm so busy because I need to do all this thing. You take away God. I mean, I'm not saying that. I mean, this is your God-given a Sabbath day. I'm not just bragging, but you can have a Sabbath day and another day. But there's something about coming together, worshiping God as a brothers and sisters, lifting up and having His kingdom come. And having His blessing flow through you. Amen? And you distract the taking away with some other things that right now you feel like, oh, I have really nothing to do. Let's go to church now. You see how, I'm not saying that, oh, let's go and tell to Jesus because we have nothing to do right now. No, you're not doing that because you have nothing to do. That should be your central of your life. I know some of you might say that, God, I have a pastor, I'm not good at really, really talking about Jesus. But you can act out of your life. Cook something. Be care for someone. Let Jesus be reflected through your lifestyle. Amen? But if you're doing exactly like them, oh yeah, they say, Sela, Sela, Yala, Sela, Sela, you also die, we all die. You create more fear for them rather than you're giving hope. I'm not talking about false hope. There's something God has already promised in His Word. The hope that we have in Christ, it should be, how would I say? It cannot be a fight against it or something. I mean, like, you cannot refute that. There is a future kingdom coming. There's someone beyond us that is in control. Until we realize that, we will be still saying, Sela, Sela. You die, I also die. No, stop saying, die, die. Why you like that word so much? And the thing is that even that happened. I mean, I know I have two children. But the thing is that I told my son, I said, if Jesus come back, sorry, son, I told you last week, right? I said, I'm not going to see your wedding, but we will be with Jesus. I think, which one you choose? I said, I'll be other with Jesus. Okay, amen. We go to heaven together. Who cares? Heaven is more than what I expected for. I'm waiting for heaven. Amen. But he's still not here yet because there's still for us to do until the gospel is preached to every ethnos. That means everybody on the, just not nation, every people group. Then the end will come. And if you are cynically asking Jesus, why are you not coming back? Ask yourself, are you doing your job? I'm not saying it's a job, but are you sharing to Christ? I mean, like, just imagine if Jesus come back and they don't get to go to heaven with you. That's a sad thing to do, right? That's a sad thing. I know you don't like your employer, but the thing is that at least pray for them. Somebody will come and share Jesus to them. You are there because God put you there for a reason. Amen? And you are ambassador for God. You are important. That's why God bring you here all the way and put you there for a reason. Because somebody might be seeing you, watching you without even saying anything. You are important. God has placed you there. So don't let worries about tomorrow affect your relationship with God today. Finally. Say finally. But this is not the last thing. But what I'm in my title, this is the final thing. You need to trust our Heavenly Father got you. Matthew 6:30 says that if God cares so much for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? He doesn't say you don't have faith, but why you have so little faith? Trust Him. In 1 Peter 5:7, He said that give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. You know, it's like an insurance policy. If you know that you've taken an insurance policy, I mean, I had experience when my mom was admitted, although I took a travel insurance, but I didn't really read like what the insurance I took because they are always fine prints, what is covered and what is not covered. But when you know what is covered, then you can demand the company to provide because that's what you paid for. Amen? It's an insurance policy. So I knew for amazing. And God did just beyond that. They say, you pay first. I say, hello, the bill is like they gave me was like 75,000, the first one. And then it keep adding 120,000. And then it keep going higher and higher. I say, no, I don't have this money to pay you. Sorry. But end up the insurance company still gave that money and then paid for that. But even they had a rest of it. But the thing is that I can demand because I know what is in the policy. I can still fight against it. And they told me, oh, because she died of a sickness there, we cannot expatriate her back to her remains back to Malaysia. I still keep fighting. But although it even doesn't say exactly clear in that policy, we have a God beyond that. Amen. One day they told me cannot, and the next day they told me, okay, we will take care. We will bring her everything, her remains back to Malaysia, and we will pay for it. Things can change. Policy plus Jesus. Amen. But there's something else need to happen. Because in order for you to trust, you need to have a base. And that's only will happen when you know the Word of God. It's not just by just because you're a Christian religiously, I need to read my Bible. No, you're reading your Bible so that there's some powerful truth in there that for you to remind yourself, not to God, you say you told in the... I mean, God knows. Hello. He knows what He wrote in there. He put it there. And for you to memorize, to know for yourself, because whether things happen or not, for you to still believe that He will. Amen? So that's why you need to be remembering. So sometimes a lot of people ask me a question, but I say, do you know the same Bible that you quote? It says this. Oh, I didn't know that. So good, I tell you now. Because God knows beforehand what He's telling you. That's why it's so important that we read His Word. Meditate upon some of these powerful promises. Because there are times that you will be going through difficulty or something in your life that you know that the answer is not yet there. And you will think that, oh, my pastor told me this, so many people tell me this and that. You see, where am I? And that's the time actually for you to remind yourself and the voice of the enemy that is telling you that is not correct. My Heavenly Father, no matter what, it's like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You know what? He said, we know we're going to throw into the fire. And he said, even if God doesn't show up, we'll still die happy. They just went in there. And that's where you come when you say that you stretch your faith. Faith as a mustard seed. Whether it happened or not, that your faith in Jesus Christ never dies. And God honors you for that. Amen? He honors you. Sometimes He just allow something to delay so that to show you that are you still trusting or are you leaving faith right now? Because in the same scripture, He said, before the Lord's coming, many will leave the faith. It's worrisome. That's why you need to build your faith, build your family faith, pray for them right now. Because it's so important when He comes that you are still believing in Him. The next thing is that to pray. I mean, there are many things that I can say. But if you prayed as much as you worried, you will have a lot less to worry about. You see, Jesus speaks against worry and anxiety because of the watchful care of the Heavenly Father who's ever mindful of your daily needs. Amen? He knows exactly what you needed today. So in conclusion, what are the results in taking these steps? I'd like to see you this video. It's a Bible passage, but it's just shown in a video.
Louder. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
Hallelujah. The results of believing, some of the steps I've spoken to you today, is that you will have an incredible peace of mind. Amen. You will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand.